Netflix. Movies for a dollar. Butt flicks.
Are they worth it?
Yes. No.
Could you make a movie for a dollar?
No way. Butt flicks. Low rent. No budget.
Hi, welcome to Buck Flicks. This is the Buck Flicks podcast, part of the Buck Flicks movie service. You can reach us at buckflicks.tk, where you can rent all sorts of different movies from the dollar store, thrift stores, and some garage sales, and some of my own personal collection. All you got to do is you go into buckflicks.tk and you sign up for an account. And then you add movies to your queue, and then you pick a movie that you'd like to see. I'll send it to you, and you send it back with a dollar or no dollars, or just keep it. And you know, if you keep it, we probably won't rent to you again, but I probably will, because I'll probably just forget. Once we receive it back, we'll send you another one. If you want to be surprised, just let me know. I'll send you a nice surprise. And if you sign up for an account now, from now until the end of 2014, you'll receive a free t-shirt.
Oh, wow.
It's a Buckflicks hot dog logo, because we are the hot dog cart of cinema. Yeah, just tell me what your size and color preference is, and I'll get as close as I can. Also hosting the show with me are Mike and Jason, both of the Brooklyn persuasion. And I am Travis. I'm not sure if I said that. In Albany. So, wow. How you doing, guys?
Great.
Thank you, by the way, for that reminder on the Buckflix membership, because I've actually been a bit negligent on my membership. I should.
No problem.
It's a good reminder to take advantage of that great Buckflix inventory.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll get the movie right out to you. The other thing is, I wanted to just bring attention to is we had our first stranger sign up. A name named Steve, and he rented Black Belt Jones Part 2 Tattoo Connection, and it also had a movie called Tough Turf on that DVD, and I guess Tough Turf was directed by the same guy that directed Miami Connection. But yeah, he actually returned a dollar bill, and then he signed up for another movie. So I sent him another movie. And,
oh, my God.
I'm assuming he's going to send me another dollar bill. So this is great. Finally.
Did you get Black Belt Jones back?
Yeah. He even emailed me to say the case was a little cracked. And, he was sorry about that, but it wasn't his fault. And, you know, I bought another copy of it. Fully expecting him to keep it, but not that I don't trust him.
That's awesome.
So he gets a free t-shirt. Thanks, Steve. And Steve also has a pretty good blog. He reviewed both of the movies on his blog.
Wow.
I wish I had the URL handy, but I'll post it on our site, which is buckflicks.blogspot.com.
That's awesome.
Does Black Belt Jones 2, does that have Jim Kelly?
Yeah, I guess from what his review is, I guess Jim Kelly doesn't show up till real late and for only a few minutes in the movie. So,
jeez.
Yeah, it's kind of a slapped on title, I think.
Wow. Well, I'd be curious about that other movie by the guy who did Miami Connection.
Yeah, if you look it up on YouTube, the trailers for it are fucking bananas.
I think I might need to rent this one.
Yeah. Okay. I'll get it out to you.
Awesome.
So, I don't know. I've haven't been watching many movies, just mostly television. But one thing that we've got going on around here, or a couple things in Albany, is Goblin is going to be coming to town.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's their second leg of their tour. I guess Claudio Simonetti has gone back to Italy, and it's the other two original members plus, you know, whatever other guys they got.
Wow.
So they're going to play it at this club in a strip mall called Upstate Concert Hall. And I might go with somebody that's from work crazy. That's into prog rock.
That's awesome.
That's really awesome. Yeah. What strip mall?
The one in Clifton Park there. I forget what it was called. Northern Lights, it used to be called.
Wow.
Yeah. They're playing there.
How big of a venue is it?
It's not huge, but yeah. it's a real kind of a shitty place.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy, though, is that they've gotten a lot of bands there. Like, a lot of different groups have played there now.
Yeah, because there's nowhere to play around here. So, you know, they either play there or they play this small shithole down the road that's going to Valentine's is actually getting bulldozed. That whole block. I don't know if Albany talk anyway, but well, actually, not enough Albany talk. The other Albany thing that's going on is there's a local theater that it's on Madison Avenue here, and it used to be like second run movies, and it's like got seven theaters the size of my living room, and a coffee shop next to it bought it, and they're completely gutting it. They're bringing it back down to two theaters, and it's going to become like a revival house, and it's going to have like a 400 seat venue in the back.
Oh wow!
For you know other events, so it's pretty cool. I want to try and get a hold of the new owners, and see if I can like get my foot in and maybe you know.
Oh man!
Have a Buck showing Flicks, there.
Festival.
Yeah, we'll see how we'll see what happens.
That's awesome. I hate when they do that, man. There's this theater near Prospect Park that used to be great, and we sort of like went there recently. It's just a really old like, you know, theater that they split into, you know, six theaters now on the ground floor.
Yeah.
That are like your living room, and it's digital, whatever. And it's like, oh, I'm just gonna stay home. This is stupid. It's so pointless and weird.
Yeah. So, what have you guys been doing? Either you guys been to the spectacle yet?
I haven't. No. Have not been to the Spectacle Theater from kissing contests.
You guys didn't get down to Fist Church today, huh?
Oh no, you know it's tough. Like in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon is like hard to leave the house. It really is. It's like I'll just get ready for Monday.
Yeah, you should get your son baptized there.
Yes, Fist Church. That's a great idea. That is a great idea.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. I did have a baby recently.
Yeah, so that's been...
yeah, it's pretty crazy. But my schedule's pretty crazy, but just having not one at all anymore, it's weird. I feel like really out of it, taking naps all the time and just sort of like being up at weird hours, looking at things online. Trying to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
So Kung Fu Beyond the Grave was perfect. I watched it in many, many fits and spurts of all hours. So I have a really weird view of it, but this would fit right into Fist Church.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think even if you watch this film straight through, you'd still have a pretty disjointed... view of it.
No, right,
I mean, yeah. There's no way around it, really.
Yeah.
So, Mike, did you guys do anything for Halloween? Like, I know, Mike, I know you went to the 24-hour movie fest in Philadelphia there, but did you do anything else? Did you watch, did you go to any other horror fests or watch any other horror movies?
One horror fest is really enough.
Is that enough?
I mean, every year for 24 hours, it's pretty intense.
Wow.
But yeah, I could give you guys a brief little rundown of what they showed. It was awesome.
Yeah. Love to hear it.
So it always starts at 11 a.m. and that ends at 11 a.m. the next day. Or, well, you know, noon to noon or whatever. Okay. Anyway, so the first one that they showed was Tales from the Crypt Demon Night.
Oh. Wow.
Have you seen that one?
No.
Oh, I had actually not seen it before either, but... I was actually, we were really into the soundtrack when I was a kid in like junior high. So I finally got to see the movie and it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. It's got some really great Billy Zane material. If you like Billy Zane at all, then it's definitely the flick for you. Then they showed Monkey Shines, which I had already seen before on the big screen. So, but that was cool.
Yeah.
It's always good to see that one. Then they showed Flesh Eater, a.k.a. Revenge of the Living Zombies, which was pretty terrible. It was made by the guy who was the main zombie from the first Night of the Living Dead. Mm-hmm. The guy who shows up in the beginning in the cemetery.
Yeah.
That guy basically decided to cash in on his... 15 minutes and
when
wrote, directed, starred, did everything and made his own total ripoff of
what year is that from?
It was so much later also, which made it even worse.
83 or something.
I think you're right actually.
Oh, really? Like
early 80s. It was pretty bad. Yeah. Pretty bad in a pretty awesome way. Then they showed this other one, which I had never heard of before, called Mansion of the Doomed. And that was actually really great. And it had Richard Basehart as this doctor who was doing all these bizarre like eye surgeries on his daughter because she was blind from a car accident. So he kept doing these like experimental eye transplants. And... But he would like take out somebody's eyes and then like leave them in this like dungeon in his basement, but he wouldn't kill them and he'd always be like, well, as soon as I fix her sight, then I'll fix everyone else's sight too, but that never happens and he ends up with like this huge basement dungeon full of people with no eyes. It was really fucked up. It was really fucked up and actually really pretty good. It was kind of it was a lot like Eyes Without a Face, the French film. Yeah. It was fucked up. So I would definitely recommend that one if you can actually find it. I don't know if it's been distributed on DVD or whatever.
What was the name of that again?
Mansion of the Doomed.
Oh yeah, awesome.
Then they showed Dario Argento's Inferno.
Oh, cool.
Which was cool. And then they showed this Alice Cooper concert film called Welcome to My Nightmare. That was something else. I've never been anything more than like a casual fan, if that, of Alice Cooper. So you couldn't say I was well versed in his stuff, but after that, I feel like I've got a pretty clear picture of what this guy's all about.
Wow.
It was something else. It was actually pretty good. The stage show was like totally over the top and really kind of just begged for psychoanalysis. It was totally, totally demented. But it was good. It was enjoyable. Wow. Very much of the time, his cock is like all over the place in his whatever the fuck he's wearing throughout the show. It's ridiculous. It was a very intimate look at Alice Cooper for sure.
Yikes. What year was that from?
That had to have been like mid-70s.
Okay.
Yeah, his early stuff is really, I like it, man. Really pretty good.
No, yeah, it was great. I was really, it was good shit. It was just totally fucking nuts and over the top.
Yeah.
The guitar players were crazy. Those guys were like shredding big time.
I just read this book about Detroit called Detroit Rock City, and there's this one random part where Insane Clown Posse is talking about how he came into the studio to do some kind of like little spoken word thing on one of their tracks or something, and he had just come from the golf course, so he had like golf spikes on, and he was like, and they were like, okay, so here's our whole philosophy, and here's what we're all about. You know, we have this whole, you know, conceptual, you know, albums and stuff. And he just looked at them like, I don't care. Just what do I have to say? Like, he just went in and did this thing, and they tried to explain this whole crazy Insane Clown Posse philosophy to him. Yeah, and he could care less.
He's over it.
Yeah. He's over it.
He's like, dude, I was doing that 30 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, sure. Whatever. I gotta finish the back nine.
Yeah. He's a very avid golfer.
I guess so.
No, he really is. Like, I guess when he quit drinking, he got big into golf. That's crazy. Kind of replaced one addiction with another.
I remember one time, it was probably like 9 years ago or so, I was driving from South Bend, Indiana or something back to Albany, and I listened to his radio show. He had some syndicated radio. I mean, he might still a syndicated radio show, and it was he was pretty good. He was pretty funny.
Like on satellite radio or something?
No, it was just on regular old radio. Wow. But who knows? Probably on satellite now.
That's cool.
Much respect.
Yeah, Alice Cooper. Yeah. So.
So that was about midway through. It still was not even halfway over. And then the next film they showed was Tintorera, which was
a shark movie.
Yeah, Tintorera, which means tiger shark in Spanish. So that was like a Mexican. God, I mean, it wasn't really even a horror film. Like,
I've seen like half of that. I downloaded it like I don't know, a while back.
Wow.
Well, you got to get that to me. But anyway. It was hilarious. It was basically Hugo Stiglitz hunting tiger sharks and having threesomes and having all these like really bizarre relationships and God, it was a mess.
Yeah, I remember a lot of boobs in it. There's a lot of boobs for a shark movie.
It really wasn't even a shark movie. It was basically a movie about them just like having this pretty like sleazy lifestyle and then hunting sharks on the side. Nice. So that was Tintorera, but it was great. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Then there was The House on Sorority Row.
Wow.
I don't know. That was just kind of seemed like a typical slasher movie to me. I was barely awake for that one, to be honest.
What time is that? Like 2 o'clock by then?
Let's see. That was probably about... Yeah, that was like 2:30 in the morning. So that one was a little hazy. But then then the next one was Night Train to Terror.
Oh, yeah, that fucking movie. Have you ever seen that before?
I haven't. I have not.
Oh, my God. What?
You have.
You saw it on the big screen?
I did.
You lucky bastard.
It was something else. I mean, it was... I think we all enjoyed it quite a bit, but boy, was it fucking wretched. the whole film, it's kind of like one of those anthology films where there's like more than one story. I think there's three stories.
Yeah.
Again, I was like passing in and out of consciousness at this point, but I think there's three stories, and the whole time it's sort of being narrated by these two characters that are on a train, hence the title. And
spoiler alert, as
it happens, the two characters on the train that are kind of being like our narrators, it's God and Satan.
Wow.
Pretty subtle. And then also on the train, like in like some other train car, apparently there's like this band that's playing the same song incessantly, like over and over again. And it's like they keep cutting back and forth between like the story to them, like the God and Satan on the train, and then the train car, these kids playing the band, they're always playing the same song. I mean, it was just, it was nightmarish.
Wow.
Yeah. So, They're releasing that on Blu-ray.
What?
They're releasing that on Blu-ray.
Jesus.
By the way. Who is
Train of Terror.
Night Train of Terror, yeah.
Oh, man. I just... I'm going to send you guys this link. I think I just found it. I got to watch this. This looks crazy.
So that was fantastic. Then, nice. Then they showed Shivers, the David Cronenberg film.
Okay.
That was pretty awesome from what I saw of it. I was, again, pretty tired and, like, I'd nod off for, like, a few minutes at a time and then wake up and I'd be like, oh, it's still that Cronenberg film. But it was pretty cool. I just was fucking tired as hell. Then they showed Golden Voyage of Sinbad, which was pretty cool. I always liked the imagery and the special effects in the Ray Harryhausen type movies, so that was pretty fun. Then they showed this really, really bad movie called Toxic Zombies.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that too, yeah.
Wow, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it on USA, like, probably 1987.
You know, it's hard for me to imagine a world where that would be on general cable, but we used to...
I'm sure it was heavily cut.
It was pretty bad from what I recall. Then the second to last film was Darkman.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Which gets better every time I see it, actually.
Yeah, totally.
And then they closed the show with Demons 2, which I've...
Oh, nice.
Which I've never been able to really differentiate between the first two Demons films, but, it's fun.
Wow.
So all in all, it was great. If I had one criticism, it would just be that there was probably a few too many films that really weren't exactly strictly horror. You know, like Darkman, as much as I like it, isn't really it's not really a horror film.
Right.
And Golden Voyage of Sinbad, that's not really a horror film.
Right.
And Tintorera isn't really a horror film, and the Alice Cooper thing, that's not really a horror film. Yeah. So that's like, I don't know, I mean, it was enjoyable, and I really liked that stuff, but it wasn't like, I don't know. That was just my only quibble, but I did like those films anyway.
That's awesome. Wow, that's some lineup.
Yeah, it was good. It's always fun. It's always always pretty exciting.
So do you think, is that getting more and more popular? Like, are there a lot? I mean, it's always sold out, but like it seems to sell out really fast the last couple of years.
This year it sold out in record time. It was sold out in, like, I think within 24 hours, if I remember correct.
Wow.
So you got to be ready. You got to be on top of it. Otherwise, you're not gonna be able to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't miss it for the world. It's always a blast.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's a full report.
That's awesome. I appreciate that, and look forward to the next one. Hopefully, they'll have one at this new renovated theater because it's only like a few blocks away from me, and I can. Go home in the middle of it and
yeah that's great
when they're playing The Bride of Frankenstein or something.
That's a good movie.
It is a good movie. Not at 3 in the morning though. Let's take a break right here.
Woo.
Today, for this podcast, this fall time, this deep fall time podcast, we are going to review and talk about a movie called Kung Fu from Beyond the Grave. Alternate title is, what was it? Yin Lee or something like that? Let me just read the synopsis from the back of the DVD. At 12 o'clock midnight on the seventh month of the lunar calendar, the gates of hell open and the dead start to rise. Churn, Chun, Billy Chong, is paid a visit by his dad, who tells him that the real enemy is the priest who commands the dark forces by use of his black magical powers. Fortunately, Chun is guided by the spirits to find a book of magic, a group of friendly ghosts, and a house full of hookers who will help him in his quest. Non-stop kung fu action follows with comical scenes that make this a kung fu movie at its best. Mm. I know is that. That's a fair description, yeah. I guess.
Well, to be fair, yeah. I thought that was a more coherent retelling of the events than what I just witnessed.
It was very hard font to read, though.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I saw.
You said, what did it say? That his father came and told him about the something or other? I mean, in that part, the dad, he rolls up on his son, and he's like, "My son, I just wanted to tell you, I died a horrible death." And then he pretty much just, like, walks away, and he tells him that he had to buy his way out of hell to tell him that, but then he's not very specific about anything, and then he just leaves.
Yeah. Yeah, the narrator in the very beginning, you know, kind of gives you a three-sentence synopsis of what's going on, this ghost festival. The gates of Hades open up on what is it, July 13th every year, and the dead rise, and I don't know. They come, and there's a whole bunch of strange customs that happen. I want to know if this is based on a true thing that happens.
It's probably traditional Chinese folklore.
Yeah. So I mean, this is probably among one of the strangest movies I've seen, at least if not the strangest kung fu movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Strangest kung fu movie I've maybe seen. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I do love that idea of. I think the thing that stuck with me the most was that. It's tough, like zombies. We all love zombies. They're invincible. They're already dead, so you're in trouble. And if they know kung fu or are involved in kung fu, it's like a really bad mix, because I loved all of the crazy, like, horror elements that were thrown into kung fu. I mean, this is like a no brainer. I mean, I'm surprised more movies haven't done this, or that I haven't seen them at least. There's wizards and Dracula, zombies, and kung fu.
And the truth is,
scalping.
Yeah.
People are just hiding these movies from us.
I think so.
Yeah, this is a movie that is in desperate need of restoration, if you ask me. I mean,
oh my god.
I don't know why it's not more well known, because it's a pretty bananas movie, and there are much worse movies, such as Night Train to Terror, that get the red carpet release. Just the kind of open circulatory system of the story deters some people from spending any time, restoring this movie. But you have like a bad guy that lives in the Yellow Palace Dragon, or Yellow Dragon Palace, and so he's apparently the guy that killed his dad.
Right.
And so this guy, Mr. Can, I think is his name, he wants to be invincible, so he hires a black magician, and the black magician has some recipe for making him invincible, and that is to rip the hearts from a couple that is having an orgasm, but they have to get the hearts while the orgasm is happening, which almost seems impossible, but they do it at least two times in this movie.
That's right.
That's great timing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be like almost right there, to know, you know, I mean, you might even miss it a couple of times. You have to become very familiar with a couple.
And did that happen to his father? I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. I got like his father was killed by that wizard guy. That's why he wanted to avenge him, or no?
Well,
I'm asking the wrong people, right?
That's right.
So he must have died that way, right? Or no? That this is like maybe a side thing.
Yeah,
he had a scroll or something.
I don't. He definitely died. He definitely was killed by that guy, but not in that way.
Because that means there's his mom died too. I would hope.
No, well, I thought his mom was in the beginning, consoling him after he's like, huh? My father, I just saw father. And she didn't deny it, I don't think, if I remember right.
Because she was only there for like 2 seconds. He was just like, oh my God, I talked to my father. And then it was like jump cut and it was like over.
Yeah. See, that stuff is missing, and it should be restored and put on the Blu-ray.
Yeah. I'm sure they left the great scene on the cutting room floor there.
Yeah.
It's just one of those classics that, you know, fell through the cracks.
So they take the hearts and they melt them down. For some reason they cut the scalps off too. And it's explained as it's a custom to scalp the dead. They do that, and then this.
I like that he, the main character, finds the black magician after traveling and being attacked in every inn that he goes to. By, I guess, henchmen or just people out to rob him. I don't know. It's like, it's a pretty dangerous world he's in. And he gives him that list of demands. Yeah. And the first demand is that he commit suicide. I just thought that was great. Like, that's really, like, what does it matter what the rest of your demands are? Honestly, just if you follow through with number one, then we're done here. I'll go back home. I just thought that was hilarious. That if you could just walk around with like a list of demands you give people, like just
kill yourself.
I want you to commit suicide. So obviously that did not go over very well with the wizard, magician, invincible guy. So that's really where these two, first two, start to butt heads a little.
Yeah. Then I don't remember exactly how he ended up with that ragtag bunch of zombies that are on his side.
Yeah.
But was it in a mausoleum?
Yeah, well, there were like a couple guys were like getting drunk, and then all of a sudden zombies came out around them, and I forget what happened to them. But then, yeah, they were on his side, which was maybe – did he summon them? Did he have like some kind of sorcery of his own that he learned from his father?
Maybe he was just the holder of the scroll.
Maybe that's it. The scroll. Okay. And I like that the zombies hopped around. Like they couldn't really walk or anything. They just sort of bounced.
Yeah. And where did the vampire guy come from? What was that all?
He was summoned by the black magician by money. He just flashed some money and burned it or something like that, and Dracula appeared. And I like that's probably the best entrance of Dracula I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's probably just the best Dracula I've seen. Period.
Yeah. That was awesome.
So, yep. And nothing seems to work, you know, as usual, you know, the cross is held up and he breaks it and laughs. And
that was great. And
the unexpected thing works is garlic, which never seems to work in any other movie I've seen. But
right. Yeah, they were like grenades. They were like garlic explosions.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I love the crazy no effects really that this movie had. Like they had some awesome sort of like flying around wire stuff with Dracula, which was really cool coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But then with these wizards that are fighting Dracula, just have these crazy like cardboard tongues that are hanging, that are just, it's so like, you know, no money at all, but in this, terrible quality, it just fits perfectly. Like you would never think that that's bad, and it just looks so weird that it's actually gets a little scary because it's so bizarre and like, what? Why would they have tongues like that? And that's creepy.
Yeah, it was effective.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the best thing in general about this movie was just the dubbing and the the dubbing and the sound as a whole. Even though it was all kind of buried under this like horrendous like white noise on the copy that I had, that was like kind of like penetrates your ears while you're listening to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
After a while, I kind of tune it out. Great sound in this film. Great dubbing. Great dialogue, great timing with all that stuff. I noticed there's one musical cue on here that I have the track.
Oh yeah.
And they had edited it for the film, so that was exciting. Maybe we can include that on the.
If you can send that to me, that'd be great.
I'll hook it up, kind of like with our Bare Knuckles soundtrack.
Oh wow! Yeah. Oh, I also love that they even did like the scratching the negative kind of thing for the lasers and stuff that were going on.
Oh yeah.
Like you could totally see that it was just like, you know, after the fact, just scraped with a knife or something to get that like laser shooting out wizard.
I don't know what that was, but it was standing.
Yeah, totally good.
Yeah, some zombie risings. Actually, just not actually all the way. Just like zombie pre ejaculate kind of. You know, like just the arms sticking out. You know, they didn't get much further than that, which you know was kind of disappointing. But oh well. He found the body of his dad, the six fingers.
Oh, that's right. that's how he would know it's his father, because he had six fingers. Oh, yeah. That's right. I remember.
So he dug him up. He dug him up. I didn't understand that part. He dug him up, and he was still pretty much intact, but I don't know how long it had been. And then suddenly, like, he was all bones.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did he do some magic to get all the flesh away, or... Do you guys remember that part?
Like, no, I think, you know, it's just typical. Like what happened was the corpse just got vaporized upon contact with the air. You know?
Right.
Oh, yes. It's like when you dig a body up and...
That's how I took it.
Yeah, okay.
You open that mausoleum and whoosh, everything just collapses.
Yeah.
Into bones.
Into fine dust.
Yeah.
Just kind of shakes off. Yeah, okay. a government agent stops in, and he's there to stop the wizards from taking people's hearts. He caught wind of it somehow.
Yeah, he does a terrible job.
I gotta say, this yellow dragon guy was fantastic.
Oh
yeah,
he's a super maniac.
Yeah, I would say so. He has that whole ceremony where he spits the blood and makes all those faces, and he was over the top.
Yeah, and his crazy eyes and the ponytail he uses as a scarf.
I've seen him before in something.
Yeah.
I'm sure he probably had a pretty good career doing that stuff, but I don't know his name.
It's Chin Lei Sung.
Oh, is it?
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, he spits heart juice and at the guy.
Heart juice, yeah.
Heart juice.
Some call that blood.
Yeah. there's surprisingly at least one frontal nudity shot of full frontal.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's see what else. Girls. The girl's dad. That when he goes to the graveyard to find his father's bones, he meets that guy named Fang, and then the girl is, he meets some girl also, and this Fang, who is this girl's uncle, dies, and she starts crying, and the main character there, the protagonist, he says oh, don't take it so hard, and then she's fine.
That was all she needed.
Yeah, that was all she needed. She just needed Chun Sing. That was the guy's, the main character's name. Boss gets chased by fireballs.
Okay.
It's good. Prelude to Phantasm.
Yeah. Totally.
I thought the kung fu was pretty good. The actual kung fu. I mean, it was definitely pre thought out and choreographed, but it was workmanlike.
Yeah.
But all in all, I'd recommend this movie. It'd be a fun thing for Fist Church.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be nice to sit down with it and watch it in one sitting.
Yeah.
Also, which is something I did not do.
Something either. I still haven't done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it ended weird because I don't really have anything written down about the.
Me about too. The yeah, I was just thinking that. I was trying to remember. Oh God, I'm trying to remember what happened.
Is it possible that none of us actually saw the ending?
It's possible.
I know I watched it to the end because Heather noted that, oh, it's over.
That's when you knew.
Yeah.
Oh, it's over.
Then I woke up. Then I woke up and went to bed. And she told me what it was about.
Awesome. Oh my God.
But yeah, so I don't know. You guys got any closing thoughts about Kung Fu from Beyond the Grave?
I'd recommend it for a horror marathon in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah,
for that time slot between about 3 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, this is definitely festival fodder.
Yeah, because it would improve by sort of being in and out for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, watching it with other people too, and it's like one of those unsung movies.
Yeah.
Glad I have like 4 copies of it. So,
if you want. Yeah, you know what? I was wondering actually because you had sent me a legit copy, like not a DVR, but like a legit copy, and I was like, oh man, this is sweet. So
every time I go to the one of my sources. They have a whole bunch of these, so I just buy another one.
You can't resist.
So, yeah, can't resist it.
Wow.
Listen to Daddy Warbucks over here.
Yeah, well, you know.
they keep printing them. Bucklicks will keep buying them.
Yeah, and I'll keep printing money.
Yeah, and summoning Dracula.
Nice.
Well, this particular store that I got it from it's called 99 Cent City, and I don't know how long this store has been open. It seems to have been open for the last 20 years, maybe. I don't know. You go in there and you're just overtaken by the scent. And it's the scent of pre-burned plastic. Mm. If a fire were to start in this, it's the size of a small supermarket. It's called 99 Cent City. There's hardly anything in the place. It's 99 cents. It's mostly like $1.29 or, $3.99 or, all the movies are $1.29. I'm afraid to go all the way to the back of the store because if a fire did start, you would be overtaken by the toxic fumes and you would have no hope of getting out. So I'm risking my life basically going in there.
Yeah. Wow.
So Ming's 99 Cent City.
How's the DVD inventory there? Sounds like they'd have a pretty good.
It is insane. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Insane. Yeah. Well, some of the recent releases I'll tell you about right after this break. Okay, so Ming's 99 Cent City. If you're in town, if you're Ming's 99 Cent City, that's not what it's billed as on the marquee. It just says 99 Cent City, and but if you look on the receipt, it's Ming's 99 Cent City, and it's I think it's a husband wife that own it because they're in there every single time I'm in there, and they are constantly yelling at each other. And arguing about, maybe they're not arguing. I don't know Chinese. That could be the intonation that they just, converse. It certainly seems like it's a kind of funny place because they, every time I go in there sometimes with, Sean, the guy that does the website. And we go in there and, they don't bother us or anything. And then a person of color will come in. it doesn't matter. They could be Indian. They could be, Pakistani. They could be African-American, whatever. Yeah. They are followed to no end.
Wow.
By these people. And like throughout the store, it's so obvious too, because every single aisle they go to, it's insane. And then they have all these video cameras there, so they have like a live, closed circuit feed up by the cash register. They must have 20 cameras in the whole place, and I don't know what they're protecting. I should take some pictures in the place. I've taken pictures of items in here. But it's all like really low grade stuff. But my last trip, I got some really good titles in, and one is a Jeff Goldblum movie from I have no idea when it's from, but and you can never tell by the cover because it's all pasted together from headshots. It's called Rehearsal for Murder. I've got a movie from 1997 called Nowhere Fast. It stars Jodie Lee, who is in Do the Right Thing. I got another copy of Bloody Mania, which is a JCW wrestling DVD put out by the ICP, Insane, Insane Clown Posse.
Oh wow!
Every year they do. I guess they do. They do matches at their gathering of the Juggalos, and this is the thing. I sent a copy of that to Kissing Contest. I got a movie called Embryo, which I want to do sometime in the next few episodes. It's a movie from 1976, starring Rock Hudson, Barbara Carrera, Roddy McDowell, and Diane Ladd. It's, if I remember this movie right, it used to come onto network TV once a year, and it's a pretty berserk kind of like science fiction-y kind of movie. I got a Bela Lugosi movie where he plays a Japanese agent. It's like an espionage movie called The Black Dragons. It's only 69 minutes long, so I got another movie, Ken Russell's Fall of the House of Usher, or Fall of the Louse of Usher.
What?
Yeah, it's a Ken Russell movie from, I don't even know what year. It says 2003 on here, but I wasn't even certain that he was still releasing movies. But could be. I haven't reviewed it yet. I got a couple of DVDs full of kids movies. One is a kung fu one called with two movies on it. One called Karate Kids USA and Kung Fu Kids Breakaway.
Ooh. Wow.
Then the other kids movies, four on this one, called Earth Minus Zero with Pat Morita. The Power Within, with Keith Coogan and Ted Jan Roberts. The Willies with Sean Austin. And the Impossible Elephant with Mia Sara. And the last movie I got is Until You Die with Natalie Jovanovich.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, what Ming's 99-cent palace, or what's it called again?
Ming's 99-cent city.
Nice. Where is that?
It's it's next to Staples, off of Central Ave.
There's some great reviews on Yelp.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of good ones. This says, I walked away with two English Rolling Stones belts, some chopsticks, a pile of tiny ceramic Buddhas, and some slippers. I spent $6.
Oh, yeah.
Since they have a huge selection of belts, Travis.
They have a huge selection of, like, hats. There was one that I regret not buying. It was a blue hat, and it just had a patch of a chicken on it, and it said cockfighter or something like that. Oh
my god, wow. That's amazing.
That was it. And like they have a lot of Jesus hats in there, and like,
why didn't you buy that cockfighter hat?
I don't know. Like I was like, oh, I'm telling you, the fumes in there are mind numbing. Like,
wow.
You the first 10 minutes you're there, you're lucid. You know exactly why you're there. And then the next 10 minutes you lose like a concept of time. Right. And then the next 10 minutes are just like you're just looking around and you're trying to figure out where the exit is, and then you're milling around in the back and looking through these like cheap tools that smell like oil and plastic, and then you get to the DVDs and you remember why you're there, and then you have to organize the DVDs because they're all piled up on top of each other and you can't look through them. So I can only go in there like once a month, because otherwise I'll get 99-cent city lung.
And that's where you got Kung Fu from Beyond the Grave, right?
Yeah, that's where I get it every time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely going there next time I'm in the Albany area.
Yeah, well, I'll go with you.
Sounds great.
If I haven't been there that week already.
Yeah, these belts look pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll send some pictures of things that I've taken from there. Yeah, they have a whole, like, clothes section. It's really strange. Really strange. Like, it's like you would have to, like, set the clothes outside for, like, a week before you could even bring them into your house.
Oh, my God.
That was awful. Yeah, so the other thing is I sent a selection of DVDs and some Buckflix t-shirts and some snacks to a podcast called Kissing Contest. And they were in talking about our podcast or our service. They called us podcast philanthropists because they were talking about, you know, how we have sent them snacks before in movies and we're sponsoring this whole episode. And wow. Then they also alluded to the fact that we sent a listener of Junk Food Dinner a laptop so he could listen to Junk Food Dinner again. So I want to kind of keep up this high profile image we have as philanthropists. So
it's like we're like venture capitalists of hot dog cart movies.
Yeah. So, so if you guys can think of anything might be able to do for the little guys out there, we're quite honestly one of the only podcasts, if not the only podcast out there doing these sorts of things for the community. So we intend to keep it that way.
Absolutely. I mean, I have to do something with my money.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean,
something that makes me feel good.
I'm not going to be able to spend it when I'm dead.
No. There's after all the dollar store movies are bought, there's still money left.
Yeah, we got to move on to bigger and better things.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, if anyone else has any other podcasts out there, have any requests, yeah, feel free.
Yeah, if you've
send it in.
If there's a podcast in need, send in a prayer request.
Yeah,
and we will fulfill it.
Right, it's like make a wish for a movie podcast.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So, sign up for an account, get a free T-shirt, get a movie, get some popcorn, sit down with your family or your cats or your hamster, whatever you do. And like us on Facebook. We're on Facebook. If you just search for Buckflix, you'll find us. And we also have Twitter @ Buckflix. If you want to email us, buckflix.tk@gmail.com. That'll get an email to somebody. And trying to think what else. We have a Tumblr. I don't know what's on there, but we have one.
Wow.
There's a blog, buckflix.blogspot.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You can listen to it through Stitcher Radio. And that's pretty much it. For Buckflix, you guys got anything you want to plug? I know, Jason, you've got a very excellent podcast out there, new podcast for the 7 Inches blog that you run. Thanks, you want to talk about that a little bit?
I call my friend Darren up, who's equally as obsessed with Tiny Records, and we talk about sort of like the latest stuff we've found or didn't get a chance to buy because it's gone or whatever's on eBay for like a half hour. And it's sort of like, related to the blog. But we also will definitely be contacting Buckflix with requests for technology and funding.
Good, yeah. And we'll be happy to help.
good. But yeah, that's on iTunes. I think just the number 7 inches to get you to that podcast. And I wanted to mention that this is the 11th episode for Buckflix, I think.
Yeah.
But that we started last October or thereabouts.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. We're at it like a year. So,
it's a year. Hey.
Raise a glass to you guys, man.
Cheers.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Oh, we've also been getting some mentions on Junk Food Dinner. Want to thank those guys for mentioning our service. I don't know where this stranger came from, whether he came from Junk Food Dinner or a kissing contest. But you've increased our subscription rate by 100%. So, on a podcast, September 30th or something. September it was. We're going to be reviewing two movies. One is called SFX Retaliator, starring Chris Mitchum, Linda Blair, and Gordon Mitchell.
Wow.
The other one is Last Stand, which is also going to be reviewed on Kissing Contest. This is one of the movies I sent them. This is Last Stand, not The Last Stand, but Last Stand from 1999, and it stars Kate Roger, Josh Barker, and Orestes Matasena.
Is that the Stephen King novel?
No, it's not the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie either.
I see.
So it's
all right.
That's those nice. Those two. Those are the two.
Excellent.
And hope you have a good day and a good week and a good month, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Adios.